We're going to be in Romans chapter 10 tonight. Romans chapter 10. I just want to thank Pastor for giving me this opportunity, but also teaching me how to do this. And I just want to thank all my extra family that came out tonight to support me. And I know there's going to be food afterwards, so I'll make it short and sweet and we can go and eat. But we're just going to read one verse tonight. So Romans chapter 10, verse 13. If you'd all stand with me, get one last stretch. And we're going to read in verse 13. Now it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Let's pray. Dear Holy Father, dear Lord, just thank you for giving me this opportunity, dear Lord. And just all the clips that we got to watch from the missionaries, dear Lord, just help that to stir our hearts, dear Lord. Just please help me as I speak, dear Lord. Just help me to say only the words that you want me to say, dear Lord, and just let all the praise and glory go to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right, we're here in Romans. Been here in Romans, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Rome. And the overview mainly of this book is about law and sin. But this verse that we just read is very familiar, and I know that most of us could quote it just like that. But there are two words in there, and those two words are "shall be." Now, those two words, "shall be," are very interesting. And those two words are a promise that God gave us. And we know that God can't break a promise. Now, I want to tell you why the Lord allowed the Apostle Paul to write these words. Because he was a man that trusted that if God said it shall be done, Paul knew it would happen. Just like in Acts chapter 27, in verse 23 through 25, it says, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, in whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that say with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." Now, this phrase "shall be" is mentioned over 2,000 times in the Bible, but tonight I'm just going to give you three of them. So just so please pray for me as I preach on three simple "shall be's." Number one, the "shall be" is salvation. The "shall be" is salvation. We see here in this verse that we just read, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And we see in the Bible that salvation gives us eternal life. John 3:15 says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now I want to give you my testimony tonight. My testimony is when I was 4, I started asking my mom's questions on salvation right before I went to bed. She'd be very patient with me. And after a while, she's like, "You need to go to bed." So for the next couple of nights, I kept asking and asking. Then on Wednesday night, November the 6th, 2011, Pastor Jerry Ross preached, and then we went home. But on the way home, I started asking questions about salvation. When we got home, Dad took me the recliner and opened the Bible and showed me that I was a sinner. Because I was a sinner, I was doomed for a place called hell. But that Jesus paid my penalty on the old rugged cross, so just so I could go to heaven, me personally. And at that very moment, I bowed my head and asked Jesus to come to my heart and save me. But after I did that, Dad took me back to this passage and showed me that once saved, always saved. After I did that, I couldn't lose my salvation. So now, I found this quote. D.L. Moody said this, "I believe hundreds of Christian people are being deceived by Satan now at this point that they have not got the assurance of salvation just because they're not willing to take God at his word." George Mueller once said, "Faith is the assurance that the thing which God has said in his word is true and that God will act according to what he has said in his word." What incredible quotes about an incredible promise. So first of all, we have the "shall be" of salvation. Now if you flip over with me to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10, we're going to see the "shall be" of the Father of the Lord's saying. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10 says, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." Now we see here the importance of the Father's sayings. If you're born again tonight, God is your heavenly Father, and you are his child. That means, so you, but not just you, you and I both need to listen to his sayings. Now we find the Lord's sayings in the Word of God, and these sayings are important because he gave it to us. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Now, in the book of Proverbs, it tells us how our years can be many on the earth, but the Bible also tells us how we can have everlasting life. John 5:29 says this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." We all know the verse, John 3:16, but it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Now, on this earth, we cannot live a long life unless we're healthy. But to have a long life spiritually, we need to receive the Word of God every day, just like a meal. Every day in America, an average person has 3 meals a day, and that means they'd have 21 meals a week, not including snacks or anything else. Now, likewise, or dessert, you know. Now, likewise, spiritually, we need to eat every day, not just on Sunday and on Wednesday to the normal routine church, but every day going back to the Word of God to be fed. Helen Keller once said, "Unless we form the habit of going to the Bible in bright moments, as well as in trouble, we cannot fully respond to its consolations because we lack the equilibrium between light and darkness." Now, Lee Robertson once said, "If you're a child of God, know that every promise in the Bible is yours. The Bible is a gold mine waiting for someone to take out its riches." Now, let me illustrate what you just said. Let's say you buy a big piece of property, and you know that there is tons and tons of gold out there. But you sit there your whole life, and you never touch it. You never try to go and dig it up. That's the same thing with some Christians with this good old King James Holy Bible right here. They'll let it sit on their shelf from Sunday to Sunday, and on Sundays, they might read it, but that would be their only thing, the only thing that they read. Because this Bible, all these words, they're far above rubies, as Proverbs says. All right, so now we have the shall be of salvation, the shall be of the Lord's sayings. And lastly, just page over, Proverbs 1:33, we have the shall be of the Lord's care. It says, "But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from the fear of evil." Here this portion shows us that we'll have a protected life. Psalm 91:2 said, "I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust." Psalms 144:2 says, "My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me." Don't get me wrong, folks. The Christian life isn't easy, and I know you guys know that. But when you're in the Lord's protection, it will be a lot better. Now, we all know the song, "God Will Take Care of You." But have you really heard the story behind it? Well, the hymn was written in 1904, and it's quite an interesting story. The Martins were guests at the Practical Bible Training School in Leicestershire, New York. Mr. Martin was helping the principal put together a songbook. And then one Sunday, Mr. Martin was supposed to go and preach at a church some distance from the school. His wife, Mrs. Martin, wasn't feeling well, and he thought about canceling and staying home to take care of her. Their 9-year-old son soon piped out at this point, "Don't you think God will take care of her?" With that, Mr. Martin went off to conduct the service, and while he was gone, his wife, thinking about what their son had said, wrote the words to the hymn, "God Will Take Care of You." But when Mr. Martin came home, relieved to find his wife much better, she gave him the words, and he sat down on the organ and within an hour composed this music. "Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. Through days of toil, when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path to sail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you." Now, I'd hope to say that most of us have trusted God with salvation, and we can trust that every shall be in the Bible is a promise to us. Can we not just trust God will take care of us through our life, just like that little boy said, that God will take care of us through our sickness and our jobs and our finances and our trials of life? If we could just have that childlike faith and say, can't God take care of it? So, in conclusion, we have the shall be of salvation, the shall be of the Lord's sayings, and the shall be of the Lord's care. Now, I want to ask you just 3 simple questions. You examine your own life. Question 1, can you put your finger on Romans 10:13 and say, "I've called upon the name of the Lord for salvation"? If so, then that shall be belongs to you. Question 2, can you put your finger on Proverbs 4:10? Say, "My entire faith and my trust is in the Word of God Almighty. I believe it, and I will read it and seek to obey it." If so, that second shall be belongs to you. Question three, can you put your finger on Proverbs 133 and say, I've placed my faith and my trust in God's wonderful kindness, his infinite mercy, and his ever-abiding protection in my life? If so, that third shall be belongs to you. But I wouldn't doubt if there be someone here tonight that can say, I can't claim those shall be's. Just allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart and to know that these promises can be yours. Now let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, thank you for just helping me convey my thought, dear Lord. I'd hope that at least one poor soul would just grasp one thought, dear Lord, and hide it in their heart, dear Lord. Just thank you for just helping me convey my thought across, dear Lord, and just let all the praise and glory go to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's all stand to our feet. As the piano player begins to play, the Word of God's been preached. We've watched many, many things that I think have affected our heart tonight. You let the Holy Spirit move in your heart now and make whatever decision the Lord is urging you to make.